Is that better? Yeah. Ah, so let's just pray before we start. Father, I thank you that you've been here with us this morning, and I thank you that you've been pouring your presence out upon us. And Lord, I just pray that as I talk, you would give me the words to say in the next 5 minutes and scrap anything that doesn't need to be said. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read from Luke 7, 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just when a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume. She stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with perfume. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is, who is falling all over him." Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Oh, tell me." "Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who has been forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provide nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume." Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, "I forgive your sins." That set the dinner guests talking behind his back. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? He ignored them and said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So this morning I want to look at the three characters, the Pharisee, Jesus, and the woman. Now the Pharisee has invited Jesus over for a meal, but I can't help but think he doesn't quite know who Jesus is, as we can see from the script. He has no heart love for Jesus. He doesn't know his need for Jesus. He doesn't know his need to be forgiven from his sins. He just is doing what the Pharisees did a lot and judged. And just did the act of being around Jesus rather than fully engaging, fully loving on Jesus. And so the woman comes in and he judges her. He judges her and he judges Jesus. And he thinks to himself, why is Jesus allowing such a thing to happen? He can't be the Son of God. He has to be someone else. And I was thinking about it, how quick are we to judge what happens in church? You know, a few years ago, I was in a conference and there was this woman and she was dancing a bit like a daisy. She was kind of like, you know, hopping around and waving and twirling. And it made me feel uncomfortable. So in that moment, I judged her. I didn't know what was going on in her heart. I didn't know what she had been forgiven of. I didn't know the great debt of how free she must feel from the debt of what she's been forgiven. I just judged her. And it made me think, you know, we can read these scriptures and we can think, oh, those Pharisees, they're so judgmental. But how often do we judge what happens in church? How often do we look at people and think, well, that can't be of God. That person's laughing hysterically. That can't be of God. Or, you know, some people might look at me and sometimes I might shout in worship and they might think, what's going on? It must be a demon. But we can so often be like the Pharisee. But do you know what I love? Jesus meets the Pharisee where he's at, and he teaches him in a way that the Pharisee will understand. He gives him the story of the two people in debt. I love that about Jesus. Jesus cares so much for the Pharisee that he's teaching the Pharisee. He's teaching him in a way that he will understand. And just like that, Jesus wants to teach us. He wants to meet us where we're at and give us stories and illustrations in a way that we will understand so that we can move forward in our thinking. I'm just going to skip the Pharisee and quickly move on to Jesus. So Jesus is invited over to Simon's, the Pharisee's house, and he's not shown much of a welcome. And he's sitting having his meal when all of a sudden a woman walks in and she kneels behind him. And as she kneels, tears start to flow. She's weeping at the feet of Jesus. And then she starts to dry the tears with her hair, kisses those feet, and pours such expensive perfume on them. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't tell her to get up. He lets her carry on. He's a gentleman in that moment. He accepts that worship. He allows her to love on him. He doesn't tell her to go away. He doesn't silence her. He respects that moment of intimacy where she's wanting to love on her Saviour. And he loved the act of worship. In the very same way that Jesus loves when we worship him. When we come before him with all our rubbish, just like she did. She had lived an immoral life. She hadn't come before him cleansed and perfect. She came as she was. And Jesus loves it when we come before him with every nitty-gritty part that we've got of us. All the anger, the fear, the guilt, the lust, the judgment. When we just lay it down at his feet and we adore him. And in that moment, he just allows us to love on him, to worship our King. And in that moment, he frees us and he forgives us. And he takes away all that rubbish that we've been holding on to. And then he's able to move us forward into something so amazing and beautiful and wonderful. Jesus turns to the woman and says, your sins have been forgiven. Merciful Jesus forgives sins. In the middle of a dinner party with loads of people discussing who this man is, he's forgiving someone's sins. And whether it's for the first time or whether we've come before Jesus loads of times, whether we think the sin is absolutely massive and something that he can never forgive, it doesn't matter where we are, whether we're in church, in a park, in our house, Jesus is always ready, always willing to come and forgive our sins. If we realise our great, great need to be forgiven, he will forgive. It's amazing. No matter what we do, he is always going to free us. No matter what we do, he's always going to move us on. Isn't he amazing? This morning we've just seen what an incredible Saviour we worship. You know, he wants to provide for people. He wants to heal people. He's not this distant man that we read about in the Bible. He's here. He's here now. And he loves us. And he loves each and every member here this morning. And it's just beautiful. He is so beautiful. And I just love the fact, I can't move past the fact that he doesn't judge that woman when she comes before him. He's a gentleman. And this morning, Jesus is a gentleman over your life. He's not going to barge himself in your situation. He's waiting for you to invite him. He's waiting for you to say, I've got this going on and I need you to be Lord over it. I need to give it to you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to kneel at his feet and say, Lord, this is the mess. And everything I've got, no matter how small it may be or how costly it is, I'm going to give to you because I know that you can make it into something great. I know that you can turn something so bleak and so dark and make it into something so beautiful. This woman, she had such a reverence for her King. She had heard about him. This is the first time she'd ever met him. She'd heard where he was going to be, and so she tracked him down, carrying with her something so expensive, quite possibly the most expensive thing she had. And as she knelt behind him, that shows such reverence. She doesn't stand in his face. She kneels behind him because she knows how mighty this man is. And as she weeps at his feet, You can't help to think, what is she thinking in that moment? What is she thinking as she's at the feet of Jesus? Is she repentant of the life she's lived? Is she so in awe of Jesus and his beauty and his wonder that she's just undone in his presence? And as she weeps, she wipes away the tears with her hair and she kisses his feet. Something so gentle and so intimate, something that would make most of us feel really uncomfortable if we were to see happen. His feet weren't clean, they're dirty. He hadn't had them washed yet, he said that. So he comes in with his dirty feet and this woman, she kisses them. She kisses those feet. If we were to see something like that happen in church, how would we feel? Would we feel like the Pharisee judging? And then she pours over his feet the thing that is most expensive, the perfume. She doesn't care what it costs. She wants to know Jesus. She wants to be forgiven. She wants to love on him. She knows her need for him. Unlike the Pharisee, her heart is fully engaged in the fact that she loves Jesus. Her heart is fully engaged on who he is, and she loves him. She adores him. And so we can ask ourselves, what do we have to offer Jesus? What is it that's of great cost that we can give to him? Well, it's our lives. And it's not just the perfect bits that make sense, but it's the nitty-gritty stuff. It's the secret sins. It's the things that we feel ashamed about. It's our fears. It's our anxieties. It's our dreams. And as we give them to Jesus, he can make it into something beautiful. And Chris and myself, we've been on a journey, as you all know, over the last few months of leading to us go to Mozambique. And we've been laying down our lives over and over to Jesus, giving him every single aspect. And, you know, it's not just the physical stuff. It's not just kind of giving away our possessions and leaving our home and Chris giving up a full-time job. It's the heart stuff that God's really been wanting. It's the pride. You know, I can say before you, because I know you all love us, that it's hard not to feel proud when you say, yep, look at us, we're going off to Africa. But God's had to strip us of that. And he's had to strip us of fear. You know, me saying in front of you guys like a few weeks ago that I was suffering panic attacks, that was a massive deal to show you that actually I haven't got it together. But God wants that. He wants every single part of us. And as he takes it, he will mould it in those potter's hands. He will mould it into something so beautiful. And, you know, each one of you have your own calling. We're not all called to go overseas. We're not all called to be worship leaders. But God's got a calling for each one of you. And as you take away each of the rubbishy bits that you've got in your life, the bits that you've been clinging hold to because they're safety nets. You know, you feel it's okay to feel that judgment or to hold on to that bit of bitterness because it's a safety net, it's nice, and we've all got it. As you give them to Jesus and you sit at his feet like the woman and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, he will take those bits and he will start to build you up into something so beautiful, into an empty vessel that can be totally used for him. And it's amazing. And I think that's where I'll end.